It's good to see all of you. Yeah, just a quick announcement. Okay, and I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, love lives here. That's right. Okay. Yeah, our church is going to launch an outreach project. Okay, love lives here to our neighbor very, very soon. And we want to bless our neighbor. We want to welcome them. And I want to invite you to join us, all right, to be part of this meaningful and purposeful project, all right? So for more information, you'd like to find out more or on how to sign up, all right, you can just scan the QR code on the link, all right, that shows you on the slides. All right? Okay. Happy Father's Day! Yeah! I'm saying that to myself also, right? All right. And I always wonder, you know, every Mother's Day, right, we will sing, 世上只有妈妈好, you know. They always wonder, how come Father's Day 没有世上只有爸爸好, right? And then whenever come to Mother's Day, all right, we have all the very nice messages, a good message, or how great our mom is. But when come to the Father's Day, the message is always about, Dad, you got to work harder. Oh, Dad, you got to be more godly. Dad, you got to do more. All right. And so, you know, so I decided to make it a different this year. Okay. This year, I'm going to make a different. Today, I'm going to make a different. All right. Today, we're going to tell all our fathers. All right. I want to encourage all our fathers. We're going to say a big thank you to all of you. Right. Thank you to all the fathers. All right. And we're going to tell them, we love you very, very much, and thank you for all the sacrifices you have made for us. You know, one of my, I would say the dad's movie that inspired me a lot many years ago, I wonder if you have seen it before, the title of the movie is called The Day After Tomorrow, right? The Day After Tomorrow. And there's this part, all right, where Sam, the son, was caught in a storm and needed to be rescued. So he called his dad, Dad, would you come and save me? And so that is his dad is by the name of Jack, took the call and said, son, yes, I will come and save you. And after he put out the call, Jack, the dad, the people around him tried to stop him because it was too dangerous, too risky. So they all tried to stop him from going. And this is a lie, the tech lie that really inspired me. He said to the people around him who tried to stop him, he said to them that, you know, but I make my son a promise. I'm going to keep it. Wow, you know, so I said, this is a tagline I want to say to my children, all right? I'm going to say to them, I'm going to be with you, all right? As long as I can, I'm going to be with you. Now, although parenting is never easy, those who have been parents for long enough, you know that parenting is never easy, but for me, I always feel it's my greatest joy and honor. God has blessed me as a father. You know, I want to be with my children as long as I'm able to. And in fact, parenting makes me more godly. You know, parenting helps me to understand God's heart better. But this morning, if you are a single mom, or probably, you know, your dad is no longer around, or maybe you grew up in a family without the, you know, the dad's presence, or some of us, you don't have a kids of your own yet, and Father's Day is never really the kind of message you enjoy, you like it. I want you to know that this community is your family. This community is your family. And we love you. We want you to know you are never alone because God will not forsake you. You know, in Psalms 27 verse 10, David says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. And then in Psalms 34, verse 18, it said, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So I want you to know you are never alone. All right, God is with you, and this community is your family. A boy asked his father over dinner time. He said, Dad, are bats good to eat? All right, bats, insect. And then the dad said, oh, son, that's disgusting, right? Always remember, over meal time, over dinner time, don't talk about such thing, all right? Remember that. And then after the dinner, the dad asked the boy again, you know, now, son, "What did you want to ask me earlier?" And then the son looked at the father and said, "Oh, Dad, there was a bug in your soup, but now it's gone." Fathers are funny, right? And in general, right, fathers sometimes can be very blur. If you want to watch a comedy movies, all right, put all the fathers together. You don't need a director. They will produce one for you. And father knows how to mess up things. And they love lame jokes, all right? I know, because whenever I share my joke on the stage, usually my family will sit there. My daughter and my son will look at me with the jackpot eyes, you know. You know what's the jackpot eyes? All right, the eyeball will turn up, you know, gling, 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 all right? It's like, "Dad, not again, another lame jokes," all right? But father are also easy to please. The other day, my dad was so upset with mom because of some miscommunication. You know, say, "Why like that? Why she always like that? Why this thing happened?" And then after that, I put my hands over my dad's shoulder and say, "Dad, let's have tiger beer." And then he just look at me and smile. All right, that's it, you know. But most dads are great liars. Now, they are great liars because they wouldn't tell you he loves you even though he is always ready to give his all. They wouldn't tell you they are tired even though they had a hard day. They wouldn't tell you they are in pain even though when they were hurt. They don't tell you because they never want to add more burdens to the family. You know, with this, I just feel we need to give all our dads another big round of applause, all right? To all the father, good job, all right? Press on for the Lord, yeah? So if you have not called your dad today, it's a Father's Day, and you have not said thank you to them, I give you the permission right now, text them and tell them, "Dad, thank you so much for what you have done. Dad, I love you." Now, although today's message is mainly for the fathers, but I also want to assure us the principle I'm going to share with us is applicable to all the boys here, or to the girls here, to all the men, husband and wife, and to everyone. I want to assure you, no one will be left out today. And so today, what I want to share with you are some of the lessons I've learned over the years about my role as a father. And to help you to remember better, remember this word. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Father." Okay, F-A-T-H-E-R. Father. Okay, F. F stands for fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Psalms 128, verse 1 to 4 says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Now, if Proverbs 31 is a message for the mothers, then Psalms 128 is certainly for all the fathers and men. Because in verse 3, it says, "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table." But what does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to walk in His ways? Make spiritual growth your priority. Seek first the kingdom of God. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Desire after God's own heart. Let your life revolve around God's truth. Let your life revolve around God's presence, the Word of God. Let your life revolve around God. Yeah? And why? Because when you grow in the Lord, when you grow in your relationship with the Lord, you grow your ability to be godly husband. You grow in your ability to be a godly father. And you grow in your ability to guide and lead with God's wisdom and discernment. You and your family will be blessed. And so to all the fathers, may I encourage you, keep spiritual growth as your priority. Keep your eyes on the things above. Keep seeking after the Lord. Walk with Him. Learn from Him. Read the Bible. Pray. And when you do that, when you follow Him, you and your family will be blessed. A stands for affection. Turn to your neighbor and say, affection, right? Show your affection. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. A voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So as soon as Jesus was baptized, God the Father from heaven affirms His relationship with Jesus, His love and His joy for Him, and promised His Son that He will stay with Him till He completes His mission. Now, if Jesus needed affirmation at the beginning of His ministry, even before He'd been tested in the wilderness, now, how much more do we need to tell those we love? How much more do they need to hear from us? You know, when my children were born, you know, and the day they were born, I told them this, that I'm always thankful to God because of you. I'm thankful to God because you are a gift to us. Today, both my children have grown up. One is 19, the other one is 18. Today, I still say the same thing. I still say to them, you know, children, always remember you are a gift from God to us. And I'm always thank God for you in my life. But the best thing I believe that we can offer to our children, the best gift that we can give to them is our presence. So I want to give my children my presence. And what do? I make time to meet my children and my wife every week. Every week, I will set some time just to meet up with them. And whenever I meet them, I disconnect myself from work. I disconnect myself from my own needs and my phone. When I'm with them, I want to give them my full attention. When I'm with them, I want them to know I'm listening. When I'm with them, I want them to know that I'm there and their lives matters to me. Maybe for some of us as a parent, you have missed that window. Maybe in the past, you're so busy with your work and you missed that period of time, that window where you can show your presence. May I encourage you, it is still not too late. It is still not too late today if you make time to meet them. So don't give up, all right? Even you feel you have missed that window, don't give up. Today, make time to meet up with them. And when you meet them, give your full attention to them. Help them to know that you are there with them. T. Now, T stands for teach by example. We want to teach by example. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 say, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." So if you really love your children, you will discipline them. If you really care for them, you will teach them and you will help them to do what is right. But there is a debate in how we discipline them. You know, should we cane them or not? Or should we not cane them? Should parents hit their children with cane? And by the way, the rock, this rock that's mentioned in this verse, is unlike our cane. Our cane is thin and flexible. This rock that mentioned in Proverbs is an inflexible, rigid, unbending piece of wood. It's a hard and solid one. So imagine, you want to follow the scripture, you got to use this solid wood to hit your child. That means very challenging for your children, all right? Now that one is up to you to decide. But I want to share with you the message of this Proverbs. The message is, if you are not solid like the rock, if you are not firm like the rock, if you are not clear about your values, your biblical principle, your child will become weak and spoiled. You know, in life, there are some issues where you want to be more flexible. For example, parents, don't be too hard on yourself. I met parents who always feel guilty of not able to help their child to be more godly, help their children, all right, to serve in the ministry. I've seen parents who often feel stressed and guilty, that as though they have failed as a parent. Now, and I want to encourage you, all right, parents, be a bit more flexible. Don't be too stressful about it. Because sometimes children's failure is not necessary, it's our failure. You know, so when we see our children do wrong, it's not every time, it's always our fault. Always remember, children, they have their own free will. And sometimes they do make mistakes. So may I encourage parents, don't always see your children's failure as your own failure, because it's not always necessary. You know, one day, my daughter, she was in primary school, she was very young then, all right, and she gave me a call. And over the phone, she cried, "Oh, yo, papa, papa." I said, "What happened?" "Papa, papa, papa, I failed my test." I said, "Oh, okay, it's all right, girl, it's okay. You know, just try harder next time." And then, so I asked her, "You know, girl, what did you get for your test?" "Oh, papa, papa, I got 98 upon 100. When I heard that, I wonder, right, what have I done to my girl, you know? Yeah, what have I done to her, all right? That's not what I want her to think, all right? And so, you know, I want to share with her things like that, all right? We want to be a bit more flexible. A bit more the performance, the school result. We want to be a bit more flexible. But when it comes to moral issues, the Lord's commandment, we want to be firm, clear, and inflexible. For example, a sin is a sin. Wrong means wrong. Cheating, lying, stealing are moral issues, and we need not to be apologetic about it. In fact, we need to be firm and consistent. If we want to give our children a solid foundation, we need to be firm like the rock. If not, we'll give them a weak and flimsy life. Now, besides moral issues, we must also keep assuring our children firmly, you know, firmly and surely that they are created for a greater purpose. We need to keep reminding them that they are not just to be someone in the world, but reminding them they are part of God's eternal plan, they are part of God's purpose to make a difference in their world for Jesus. You know, and so it is a practice that I will constantly remind my children that if the Lord has decided to take me home, or if something happened to me suddenly, I always remind my children, if that day happened, don't get angry with God. Don't get angry with anyone. Don't get angry, because we will be together eternally as a family. So I will remind them, remember, our home today is only temporal. There is a home awaiting for us, and we will live together. And because we are living together eternally, I remind my children, let's stick together and let's serve God faithfully, not just on earth, until the day we see each other, or till the day we see Jesus. However, when it comes to how do we teach our children, how do we educate our children, we need to be more flexible. We need to be more gentle. We need to be more forgiving. We need to be more understanding. We need to be more caring, careful, and not controlling. We need to be more quick to listen and slow to anger. We need to be more patient, be more realistic. Don't be despair, even if they lapse. But be firm and tender. Be firm and tender. Inspire our children by our godly example. You know, to all my friends and fathers here, there's no greater way than a father who models godliness before his children. Now, H stands for honor your parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Now, how do we honor our parents? Now, as we were younger, as children, we learned to honor our parents by obeying and respecting them. But as we become adults, or I would say, you know, older, more independent, we learn to honor our parents by appreciating them, providing them, and serving them. So to all the children here, I want to encourage you, obey your parents. Why? Because it has shown that those who learn to obey their parents at home today have a much easier and steadier life than those who can't. Because they have learned and knew how to live with those in authority at home before they go outside and work. And when you learn to obey, not because you want something in return, you know, to all the children. Sometimes I know you obey because you are hoping to get something in return. But when you obey, not because you want something in return, but because you believe it's the right thing to do, that is a sign of your maturity. You know, a girl was staring at the noodle, you know, at the noodles at a store on the street. And she was very hungry because she has not been eating for days. And so this old lady, the owner, mending the store, saw this girl. And then she asked the girl, all right, you know, would you like to have a bowl of noodles? And then the girl looked at her and said, you know, auntie, I got no money. I quarreled with my dad. I ran out of the house. I spent all my money. And I'm not able to pay you. And then, nevertheless, the owner offered this girl a bowl of noodles. And while this girl, you know, eat the noodle, she started to cry. And then the old lady asked her, you know, why are you crying? And then the girl replied, you know, I'm so touched by your kindness. You know that I have no money to pay you back, and yet you still offer me your noodle. I'm so touched by your love for me. And then this old lady, the owner, looked at her and said, you know, girl, I only give you a bowl of noodles and you're so happy. How about your parents who have provided you all your needs throughout your life? Go home to your parents. And I believe becoming a parent or choosing to be a parent is probably one of the most unselfish decisions human beings they had ever made. Because they can do many things, but they choose to have children. They choose to have you. And parenting is probably one of the most demanding jobs. And yet, so often, they are the least appreciated person on earth. And many times, they are not being appreciated because we do not know what sacrifices they have gone through for us. So I want to encourage all of us, especially young people, appreciate your parents today. Appreciate them. Today's a Father's Day. Bring them out for a meal. Don't just bring it out for the meal. Say thank you. Say I love you. It is the right thing to do. It is good for you. And it pleases God. E stands for endeavor to persevere. Turn to your neighbor and say endeavor. Right? Mark chapter 9, verse 20 to 21 says, and they brought the boy to Jesus. And when the Spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said to Jesus, from childhood. So the boy has been suffering for some kind of spiritual attack or demonic attack. Now, we are not very clear. And he had this attack since he was a small boy. Now, how old was he? We are also not very clear, but probably for very young. Now, in other words, the father suffered with this son for a long period of time. Since the boy had this problem, the father stayed with him. Always look out for someone to heal him, be with the boy through ups and downs, cry with the boy, pain with the boy, you know, all this while hoping something will change, someone will help him. But in spite of all the pain that he had to go through, this father is determined to go through with his son. I have a friend with a true story. A good friend of mine, with permission from him to share the story, who waited 10 years for a child. He prayed as a couple, they seek God, and finally, God answered their prayer and gave them a daughter. It was such a great occasion, moment for them. Finally, God answered their prayer, but it didn't last for long. One day, he called me and he broke down and he cried. He said, "Joseph, can you please pray along with me? I'm in pain. Can you please pray for me?" Because when his girl turned 2 years old, she was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, which affects her speech and movement. And the day that he told me that, I knew his road ahead is going to be tough. Financially, will be affected. Emotionally, will go drained. His lifestyle has to change. Many times, I had to see him. I saw him juggle between the work and sending her girl to, you know, for treatment, for school. And he had to run up and down. Hectic life. It was not easy for him. But whenever I met him, whenever he mentioned about his girl, he will give me a smile. However tired is he that shone on his face, I could tell that he was tired and exhausted. But whenever mentioned about his daughter, he will put a smile on his face. It's as though that he trusted God. God must have a purpose. It's like saying to me, "Yes, I know it's tough, but I'm determined to walk through with her. I'm determined to stay with her, and I believe God has a plan." And he will make sure that she'll go for proper training, education. Still today, she has to go through some kind of treatment, but by the grace of God and through his love and his endeavor to persevere, to stay with her, the determination to let her daughter know that I am with you today, his daughter's name is Janelle. She's a beautiful and young, active girl today. Praise the Lord for that, right? Let's give a Lord a clap offering. Thank God for his goodness. And so this is a message I have for all the fathers. Sometimes we have situations like that. Maybe they are not like the story that we read, in the sense they are not spiritually attacked. Maybe it's not like what happened to my friends, physically health is affected. Maybe it's more like sometimes your children turn away from you. Sometimes, or in a way that they rebel against you. They, you know, somewhere, or sometimes they say things that hurt you. I know the pain. I'm a father myself. And sometimes they ignore you. And sometimes you try to go into their lives, but they close the door. They don't want you to enter into their lives. And it's painful. But may I encourage you, don't give in. Don't give in. Don't give up. Stay with them. Keep praying. Wait upon the Lord. And believing God is able and he will help. And there are times where my wife and I, we both have to cry before the Lord because there's nothing that we can do. But we pray, we cry, and we waited. And the Lord does not disappoint us. So may I encourage us, all the parents say, "Well, going through that, you know what I'm talking about. Press on. Don't give up. Keep praying, keep trusting." And also, for all the fathers who has been enduring, has been tahaning, patiently, in pain, in suffering, but and yet still you are with them, to all the fathers here, I want to give you a big hand. All right, round of applause to all the fathers who endeavor to persevere. Amen. I want to say to you, job well done. Job well done. Last but not least, R. R stands for relationship. Value intimate relationship higher than your rights. Value intimate relationship more than your rights. What to do if our children are out of control? What to do when our children are not living up to our expectation, or vice versa? What to do when we are in that situation? Now, we are very familiar about the story of the parable of the lost son. We are very familiar with the story, all right, how the younger son took all his property, said goodbye to the father, and ran away from home, and then wasted all his money. And then one day, he suddenly woke up, realized, because he was so poor, there's no way for him to go anymore. Then he realized that he can come home. And when he decided to come home, the scripture says to us, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced the younger son and kissed him and threw a big party for him. Now, we are very familiar with this story, and it's so easy to see the unconditional love of God for this younger son. It's so easy to see, all right, the compassion God has for the younger son. But when I read this story, I always have this question. What about the older son? How did God show his unconditional love for the older son? What did God do for the older son? And I saw God's love for both of his sons from Luke chapter 15, verse 28 and verse 31. In Luke chapter 15, verse 28, but the older son was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. And verse 31, but the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. So I want you to imagine with me for a little bit. So they were having party. The father invited all the guests, the big shot, the neighbors, the servants. They all come because the younger son had come home. So the father threw a party and invited many people to celebrate this very special occasion. Now, while they were celebrating, the servant of the master of the father walked to the father and said, you know, master, your son refused to come in. So we are having our party here, but the son is standing outside the door, refused to come in. And so the father said, go out and invite him to come back again. The servant went, and then the servant came back. Your son still refused to come in. He is angry. Now, you must understand that in those days, for the older son, all right, by his behavior, refusing to come in is dishonoring his father. Even though the older son felt it's unfair, what has been treated to the younger son is not fair to him. But by his behavior, he's actually dishonoring his father because he is embarrassing his father in the presence of all the crowds. So all the crowds will ask, what happened to your older son? Why is he standing outside and refuse to come in? So his disrespect to the father actually bring dishonor to his father, embarrassing his father in front of all the guests. But what did the father do for him? Now, I think for most parents like us, earthly parents who are imperfect, for most of us probably will say, don't come in, don't come in, Lord. Don't come in, anyway, it's your loogie, got food to eat, don't come in, that is your problem. Maybe most parents will say that. Don't come in. Okay, never mind. You stand outside. I'll let you stand. See how long you can stand, okay? All right? You laugh. All right, we all do the same. Huh? Or maybe we like to use another method, threaten them. Right? Threaten them. You don't come in. Never mind. All your inheritance, I will give it to the younger brother. But no. What did the father do to the older son? You read carefully. He came out and entreated him. He walked out to the older son. He earnestly walked to him and said to the son, I understand how you feel. Come in and join us. I want you to know I love you as much as I love your younger brother. And so, how did the father do that? How the father is able to do that? The father is able to do that because he valued his intimate relationship with his sons more than his rights. So all the fathers, we want our children to know we value them more than their mistakes. Of course, they make mistakes. They need to be disciplined. They need to be punished. They need to face the consequences. I'm not saying that we absorb the mistakes, but we want them to know we value them more than that. We value them more than their performance. Our last words to our children, especially when they don't live up to our expectation, our last word to them is never, see, I told you right. Or we should say to them, I'm right, you are wrong. But I want to encourage our fathers, our last word that we need to say to our children, you are still important and precious to me. Value the relationship more than our rights. Paul says, I will show you a still more excellent way. And the most important of all these things is love. Turn to your neighbor and say, love. Now, love is more than just a feeling. It's more than just an emotion. You know, I love you, you love me. I feel good when you say you love me. When God say, I love you, what God meant is, you are so important to me. You are so precious to me that I gave you my all. So when you tell someone, I love you, when you tell your children, I love you, you are saying to them, children, I want you to know that you are very important and precious to me. And so when we fail each other, let's learn to forgive one another. Let's choose forgiveness over our rights. Let's humble ourselves and seek reconciliation. Now, if you have brought harm or hurt someone, someone that you love, asking God for forgiveness is not enough. I want to encourage you, go to them and seek for forgiveness. You know, one of my greatest joy as a pastor over all these years, besides seeing healings, how people get healed, how people come to know the Lord, the greatest joy, the greatest miracles is whenever I see how God brought the broken family into one. And I've seen that again and again. Then I realized there is always our God's desire for each family, that we all learn to love one another as how God has loved us. So that in our love for one another, that we may reflect the goodness and the glory of God. So may I encourage us that today you come to church, you're in pain, or my family are in the trials or testings, in the strain, may I encourage you, pray and seek God. Trust God. And then ask God to give you strength to ask for forgiveness. If you hurt someone, then seek for forgiveness. Work, put in all efforts to work towards harmony, love, and peace at home. Because such thing will honor and glorify God. And it is the very desires of God that God wants to see in each family. So right now, I have a video prepared for us, actually by the youth, the young people, a message from the young people to our parents, to the fathers, of how much they are grateful, how much they want to say to them that they love them, and also a way video to encourage all our fathers, you know, that all your sacrifices, all the effort they have made, they know. So just sit down, relax, and watch the video.
Pa, I'm home. That's it. flesh has reached its limit, and you can't fight anymore. Are you broken? It seems your heart is heavy, and your mind's a raging storm.
Let us give them a round of applause, right, for the videos presented to us. You know, before we go, I just want to say a blessing to all our fathers. So may I invite all our fathers to stand, all right, wherever you are. And to all the men as well, your husband, even if you don't have a children, I also like to invite you to stand. Or maybe you're single, all right, you're a man, I also want you to stand, all right. So actually all the men will stand. Let's give them a big round of applause. Thank you, especially to all the fathers, for all your hard work, for all your endurance. I know sometimes it's tough, it's not easy, but I want you to know God is with you. God is with you, and He will walk with you. And for some of us, a father-to-be, I hope the principles will be helpful for you as you prepare yourself. But for the rest of us, for the rest of us, you know, you are always, can be a spiritual father to many. And always remember, right, to all the men who are standing, I want you to hear this word from God Himself. When He said to Jesus, saying to you, "You are my beloved son." I want you to hear from God saying to you, "You are my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." So be strong and courageous, for I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of courage, love, power, and self-control. So be strong, yeah? And turn to one another and say, "Be a man!" Alright? And one more time, a man must really be a man, okay? One more time, okay? One, two, three, and say, "Be a man!" Alright? Be a man that God wants you to be. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray this prayer for myself as well. Let's pray. Let's come before the Lord. Father, we thank you for assuring us, for affirming us. Father, today we come before you. It's our prayer, Lord, make me a man who seek after your own hearts. Make me a man, Lord, who desire more of you in my life. Make me a man of compassion, love, and care for the people that I love, that they may see your love in me and through me. Make me a man, O Lord, that has the courage to leave a godly example for my children to learn and to grow. Make me a man, Lord, of gratitude, man who learn how to appreciate others, that in my love and appreciation for my parents, that my children may learn through me. Make me a man of faith, especially when time is tough, when I feel like giving up. Lord, make me a man of faith to stand firm, stand strong, with strong conviction that you will hear my prayer and you are able to help me. Make me a man, Lord, who desire intimate relationship over my rights. To be like Jesus, to imitate Jesus, to love my family and those around me sacrificially. Just like Jesus, your son. Amen. Amen. May I invite the rest of us to stand as well for the benediction. You know, God is good. All right, let's give God a round of applause and then a big cheers to all our fathers and men here. And then right now, all right, receive the blessing of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The service is over, and I'll see you next week.